हेलो
हेलो,
हेलो
हाय हाय एंड्रयू, गुड
हेलो
आफ्टरनून.
राजेश,
यस यस करेक्ट.
हाउ आर यू डूइंग?
या आई एम गुड. व्हाट अबाउट यू?
या नॉट टू बैड, नॉट टू बैड. क्रैकिंग ऑन, क्रैकिंग ऑन.
सो इज इट अ गुड टाइम टू कनेक्ट विद यू?
आई नो इट्स अ गुड टाइम, नाउ इज अ गुड टाइम. व्हाट कैन आई हेल्प यू विद?
Yeah, sure. So, and like as I mentioned you that day also, like currently we are working on a topic that is suborbital testing services market. And with me, like my colleague Gautam is also working. Hi, sir.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so currently, like we are working on this particular topic and just want to understand like how this particular market is going in the coming years, and what will be the current scenario of this particular market when we are talking about
Yeah,
the suborbital testing.
it's an interesting market. I'm quite involved within suborbital test market, and we've had a growing number of inquiries for testing on suborbital, particularly for things related to human flight, but also related to re-entry from space.
Okay, understood. Yeah, so just want to understand, like when we are saying about suborbital testing market, so we are all observing that the companies are coming up with a new suborbital technologies such as like a reusable launch vehicle or the sounding rockets or high altitude balloons and also like parabolic flights. So what do you think is the
Yeah.
most feasible choice for the payload testing in the market?
Feasible. Well,
Yeah.
it depends what you're looking to test and what you're trying to get out of the mission. There's not one platform that's right for everything. In terms of the most feasible for testing in space, it's a sounding rocket because it can get you the highest altitude, it can get you the real space environment, and it can, when you test in space itself, things like high altitude HAPS platforms and balloons, you're not actually in the space environment. But technologically, it's the most feasible. It's very easy to fill up a balloon with helium and let it go.
Understood, understood. Also, like Andrew, like we have classified the suborbital testing services like based on various applications, which is like Earth observation, communication, or the navigation and the scientific technology demo. So how do you see the current and future market for these applications? Also, like which applications your company's solutions provides to its customers?
Yeah, in terms of the suborbital market, it's always been driven by technology development and fundamental research. I think that's undeniably going to continue. What's interesting in the suborbital market is there's an entry of private capital into the market that hasn't existed before. It's been very much dominated by national space agencies like ISRO and NASA and JAXA. Oh, Nacho, are you with me?
Yes.
Yep.
Understood.
Sorry, there was some noise on the line. I wasn't sure if it was interference.
Yeah, I think it's your voice has been break in between when you're saying something lastly. I missed
Oh,
that part.
did you catch me there?
No, last part I missed that. Like there is some interaction in the.
No problem. I was saying that there's a growing amount of funding coming into the suborbital domain from private industry, and that traditionally the suborbital sphere has been dominated by the likes of ISRO, JAXA, and NASA. They're the ones that are providing the funding for the research. But on the same hand, there hasn't been opportunities for private entities to make use of suborbital launch before. So it's a totally new market.
Okay. And like when we are talking about these particular services, so how does often the satellite or manufacturers, or we can say operators, use suborbital testing services to test their payloads?
Right now, it's not something that's really done at all.
Okay.
It's something that is cool and I would have used in the past, but it's something that's just not been available.
Oh, okay. Understood. And like when we are talking about this particular market, so how do you see, like, how does the competitive scenario look like for suborbital testing services?
And it's a growing sphere. There's less barriers to entry to develop a suborbital platform than there is to develop an orbital platform. So this is going to be a much busier market and much more cutthroat market than the likes of the orbital domain.
Okay. And when we're talking about your company, so how does your company like looking for suborbital solutions are different from different competitors solutions? Like, what are the different areas where your portfolio delivers new value?
We're a launch broker for suborbital flights. How do we differ from others? I don't know if there's many others that actually do brokering for suborbital flights. Mm-hmm. But we work with several different providers.
Okay, understood. So I think that's all question that I have to ask regarding the suborbital testing market. Apart from that, Andrew, with me, with my colleague Rohan is working on another topic, that is satellite-based IoT services market.
Yeah.
So he just want to ask two, three questions on that particular market. So over to Rohan.
Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
Yeah, so this is Rohan, and as Rajat mentioned, I'm working on the satellite-based IoT services market at the moment. And I just wanted to confirm to you a few of my findings regarding that. So I just wanted to understand from you, like, what are the competitive strengths of the key market players in the satellite IoT terminals market at the moment?
The key competitive strengths,
yeah,
it would generally be price and availability.
Okay.
So that one of the key aspects, particularly as well, it would be the low power nature of the transmission. Things like LoRa will allow you to have long battery lives for your sensors that are using these IoT networks.
Right. Okay. So thank you for that. Also, since there are kind of there's a conflict, like, between the network latency issues, as it takes a lot of time for the network to come back from the satellites and to get that signal and processes on the ground. So there's a network terrestrial network latency conflict between the two of them. So how do you think this challenge can be, like, countered, and if there is something that can be done regarding this issue?
And is it a challenge? Because if you're, it really depends on your network architecture. That is just an inherent flaw with these networks. If you're wanting things to be faster, you're going to have to use something like a gateway, and then backhaul via Starlink or OneWeb. But yeah, it is an issue, but IoT networks aren't there to compete against kind of internet that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. And just one more question that we will ask. There are some regulatory frameworks in different countries regarding the adoption of satellite IoT services, just because of some privacy concerns all over the globe regarding that regarding those kind of services. So, how much is it an issue for the like the players who are providing the IoT services in different kind of regions regarding that?
It could potentially be an issue, and it's something to watch. Something that's interesting is that ISM bands are not consistent throughout the world. I know that in India, the LoRa frequencies have only recently become ISM bands. And that was something that was an issue for me. I think just last year, the bands were kind of under, they were still regulated. They weren't kind of unregulated bands. But yeah, privacy, if you're using ISM, you are going to have to think about privacy and things like that. But that's the case for all bands, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that answers my question. And yeah, I think I'm done with my questions. Thank you for your insights. And
yeah, you're more than welcome.
Thank you so much, Rohan. So hi, Andrew. So Andrew, like answers all our questions. So it's always better to connect with you in future as well for all the research space-based studies.
More than welcome. I'm
sure. Then. So
more than
you.
Happy to help on the suborbital side of stuff as well. I've been doing quite a lot on that side at the moment.
Yeah. Understood. Yeah. Sure. So thank you so much. Thank you so much, Andrew, for your time, and have a nice day.
You're more than welcome. Take care. Cheerio. Bye-bye.
Bye.